so stuff Reish Lamed Gimel and Perek Shlishi Tainis. Perek Shlishi Tainis, it says Nochem Ish Gamzu Kol Milsa Da Besol Kalei Oma Gamzu L'Toyva. That everything that happened, he said Gamzu L'Toyva. Zimna Chod Abor L'Shtur Edern L'Bekesa. Once they wanted to send a present to the king, Amru Man Yezel. Who should send the present to the king? Yezel Nochem Ish Gamzu Shemulumet B'Nisim. You know, Nochem Ish Gamzu knows Nisim happened to him, and he's the right person to go. I guess they had experience that you needed Nisim to get things going the right place and so on. Shodr B'yori Mole Sifted Avonotevis Margolius. They sent a box of jewels. Ozl Abos Bahudi Roy. He slept over in a place. Balayla Komanet to Yuroy V'shaklinu L'sifte. So the inhabitants took out the diamonds, the jewelry, Umalinu Afra, they filled it up with earth. Lamocha Khazinu, next day he saw, Amma, he said, Gamzu L'toiva. Kimot Alos, when he got there, Bo Malka L'ktilinu L'kulu. The king wanted to kill them out, the whole delegation. Amma, Komachaycha B'yudoi. I mean, they're mocking me, it's terrible. Asa L'yo, Adamu L'chadnal, Yo looked like one of them. Amalei told him, Dilmoha Afra Ma'afra Davar Vuhum. Maybe it's Avram's offer. Dichi have a shadi afra, have a saifu gili. Sorry, he have a shadu afra, have a saifi gili, have a giri. When they would throw earth, it became swords. When they would throw chunks and bits and pieces, it would become arrows. Dichsev yitin kof a charbe kakash nidav kashtoi. Have a chod of Medina of Zemichbeshe. There was a country that they couldn't conquer. Bot kimenei v'kafshu, aylu lebei gnozei melu lesifte v'anotoy v'agoldis v'shadru v'yakarava. So they were thrilled and they gave him boxes of jewels, and he went back. Kiosa bas v'odiroi slept over. Amulei my ISIS barach davloch yekuhu lehai. What did you do? So he says amulei marishakli mihachas asadi dehu. Until be Malka, sorry, Amalu my deshakle mehocha. Whatever I brought from here, that's what I brought there. Sosa dirayu, they tore up everything. Until be Malka, they brought it to the king. Amalei hay afra domi didonhu. Have it. He said this earth was our earth, but ku avlash kechua. So they tried it and didn't work. Vikatina lanach tiru, and they called him Mole. Atka. That's a story in the Gemara in Tainis. Ubir nyaze, ki voloima kama god l'midas habitochen b'yisbarach, ki nochem ish gamzu hoi l'midas habitochen, shav dova she nir rohi b'teh b'yisbarach, b'mayma shir elov l'toiv, mashi yisboi eitzar kiva b'maysa shal lifnei ze. By saying that everything would be good, like Rav Akiva, that was a, he had the same midah. The truth is, I guess a Mayma Muzga, the Nachum Ish Gamzu was a Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva, and the Midas were similar Midas. It is interesting. I once saw, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was in Lubavitcher, I believe, who was Medayik. The difference, the distinction between these two Lashaynes. Difference between Gamzu L'Toyva and Kol Made Ovid Rachmana L'Tav Ovid. The difference, it comes out, no, it's the Gemara says, Rebbe Akiva was Mishamesh Nachum Ish Gamzu. So Rebbe Akiva was a Talmud. The Lashon, the Gemara is, in Rebbe Akiva's case, it says, Kol David Mishmaya L'Tav. Anything they do from Shemayim leads to Toiv. So, in other words, all Rebbe Akiva was able to say was, good will come out of it. In other words, they actually lost the chicken, they lost the thing, but they gained something out of it. So there was an investment, so to speak, if you can call it that, and then there was and then there was return on it. So the investment was an investment. It's like I spend a dollar to buy a lottery ticket, I'll win $1 million. So I invested a dollar. I lost a dollar, quote unquote, but it brought me to a million. In the case of Nochem Ish Gamzu, so in Nochem Ish Gamzu, the mahalach wasn't that something bad came out of it. This was the good itself. In other words, the stones and so on that they put in were actually what the king most wanted. So it wasn't really like they took a loss, but that loss prevented a bigger loss. But it says if they it was all gain. So Nachum Ish Gamzu was on a higher madrega, and he said Gamzu L'Toiva. In other words, Rabbi Kiva said Kol Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tavavit. Even the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not good, but it leads to good. And Nachum seemed to perceive that the process already is an ongoing process. That's the mahalach I once saw. It makes a lot of sense here. Or Kopanim, he says like this. He explains this chazal. Why did he leave it? In other words, he went along with it. Rabbi Kiva had no choice. I mean, you know, they told him you can't sleep in town, so his only choice was, I mean, he didn't do anything to indicate his bitachon except say that. Nochem Ish Gamzu said, if I have stones and earth, then I'm supposed to use the stones and earth. So Nochem Ish Gamzu was a higher dagger bitachin, and he was, and he said that this is what I want, what I need, and he used it. Rabbi Kiva didn't do any, didn't act upon his bitachin. He simply had the bitachin. So maybe that's sort of the difference in dagger of Nochem being higher up as a rebbe, and it says Rabbi Kiva was meshamish Nochem Ish Gamzu. But he says something very fascinating here. He says, "V'kasha lokem ratzal avod yom melech omar gamzut v'niach ofki ratzal laharis es hamelech asha osu v'asha es asha gonvu adoyim emenu." What he was trying to do was to show him that it was stolen. Ulekach shasa kilshem oyd adoyim, and that's why he kept quiet. He said, "Look at what happened. Kasha bola sham paschay se kilo yada." He made believe he didn't know. And in other words, he wanted him to open it up and see what was there and explain. The king was upset. One of the yoatzim who was al yo, he said the following statement. So the morale he learns a pshat completely different in the sense that none of this happened the way it's described in the Gemara. He said it wasn't as if this thing turned into magical arrows and stuff. This was what happened was one of the Yoatzim, who was Eliyahu, or I'll explain later, who was Mushba by Eliyahu, Eliyahu put words in his mouth, said, you know, this actually might be a very good amen for us, because this might represent, they believed in Kishuv, and they said this might be very, might have a good karma, so to speak. They would use magic, certainly when wartime came, which see Mikra and Gemara all over. And he said, it can't be, nobody is crazy to bring a box of earth. This is sort of a good amen that this will these are, it's like magical earth and you'll win the war with it. It says if we bought him arms. Doesn't mean it actually became a sword. It was some sort of metal ore. Shenema barzim ofa yukach, umipteishemen ha'ofa nasel, umneishmona ofa nasel cherev, ulekach kashe shari afra v'charba. So in other words, Ofer is sort of a simen for cheref. Ratzolema kadova she'edoyma dvar mar lecheref. It's just like most things that you have certain omens. It's all because it's similar to something else. K'moya ofer she'mesiach sacheref leofer le'kimenoy sim cheref la'avroma yinase cheref upoila b'sonim kila cheref kosher. So it worked as if it would have been a sword. It had the effect. V'gili shudoyim lechetz. A gili is some sort of I think bits and pieces of wood or something that's like a chetz. The fishu kalkim or chetz was light. A gili I think is straw. It was light like an arrow. Hayegira klayma kol davar shekatzastayim lechar katzastayim lechetz. So you pour legametz Avram kilo yecherv kilo yechetz. So by Avram, he was able. It worked. It helped as if it would be there. Because hevel adoran. So when he brought him this present, omek izes simin toivel amelch shasam ucham shatzeach beofas eshuvela chashemena cherv yenasis lecherv. So he said, maybe this is a good amen. Bat kevash kreikach. But so lemme ki ba'isa shavela chayroim bebchinas gemura.
What happened was, as soon as they laid down this box of earth, the tide of the war changed, and it seemed as if everything was going wonderfully well, and the tide turned in their favor.
Who does nisim with those who trust in him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that mindset.
So Nochem Ishgamzu's success was that from the time that he walked in, they were matzliach.
Ubevare Nochem Ishgamzu, so he says, Loyal Shalchem Isim Loisha Nechshav Moedet Sachshuvim Shu Ishmalum Nisim.
They obviously knew that he's somebody who has Nisim on his side.
But Lachacho Yetelen Gamkein Ken Yitzuach Shaisim Akolo Yehu Agoyim.
And he says, "Harv ne'odem shoyisin simen kach kimiyim shebozei matzliach." A lot of times, you feel that, but you say, "You know, since so and so has become part of my business, things have been really going well."
Sorry, lefikach ein chidush kasheros simen atzachosim miyim shebonochem mishgamzu etzle sheitoyel masim noch mishgamzu.
So this is something very normal, like by Lovin, it says, "Nichashti v'avirchein eshem miglolich."
They sent him becovered because they felt he was a
simitite. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that sense and that feeling that they would feel that way.
And
since HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like to do Nisim, in other words, it's not the Malach he wants, the people who forced this Nis to happen were punished with Misa because it's something that's Hefech, the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Let's see one more piece here. V'yesh chol adas.
This is an incredible piece of the morale. He says those in Yanim that should have happened b'muchash b'nigla become an es nista. K'may dover zeh shashon esparach rotzeh lasis letzadik zeh shebeteach boi nes shelechein bein ha-melech. Ve'oyse shagorim dover zeh roya shegil ha-misim chol dover roya nasa b'nei es nista. The
morale in quite a few places, it's interesting, I think some people would know this, they would sort of put the morale in chirim. The morale in a few places where the Gemara speaks of an extraordinary nisim like this, the morale does not learn it kipshuto. In the story of Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rish Lakish, where Rabbi Yochanan Hakpeda, and he killed him instantly, and his sister came to talk to him. That's one place. When Ral says, this is what should have been, this is not what happened, in fact. The Maral says it, let me just see if I remember where else he says it. He says it in the story of the Amos Hashitin, in the story of Rebbe Elazar ben Charsima, that where the Mayan, where the walls moved and the Mayan went uphill and so on and so forth, he also says that. I mean, what he says in all these places basically is that it's something which it was something that could have happened, should have happened in mitzad the pnimius advarim. It should have happened, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make it that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that it should happen very subtly. So the Maral says this many places, that all the inyanim that it says in the Gemara, that something happens which is a chutz miderech hateva, in a way that's extraordinary, the Maral says the following kolom about it. The Maral says that it's something which is it's ro'uy mitzad the pnimius. It's something that should have happened mikoyach the toichen of the events. The other thing is that it's something which happened in a subtle and gradual way. And many times, when you have all sorts of inanimate objects saying things, then it's something which should have said. In other words, let's throw out a mashal. Imagine the Gemara says that when Adam HaRishon walked when he walked after the Chet, every blade of grass yelled out at him, "Al tenideni regel gaiva," don't tread on me with a haughty, foot. So he says. And Maral doesn't speak about Chazal, but also it wouldn't mean that you could actually record a squeaky little voice coming from each grass. Don't touch. When it says "Kold me'achecha tzorkim elai," it means that. This is the tzaak of the Bria. In other words, it's a metaphor in the most powerful sense of it, but not that there was actually a physical expression of it. The Maral most talks about this in Be'er HaGola. Be'er HaGola is a sefer that Maral wrote to counter the taina of people who made fun of Chazal. It seems that there's very little new in the world. He speaks about, he tackles six or seven different areas that their lack of, the so-called lack of knowledge of science, their speaking calumnies against the Goyim and Amoratzim and so on, speaking about themselves in kind of exaggerated ways, all sorts of things that happen that seem incredible to us, and so on. That's what the Maral speaks in Be'er HaGola. Each section is Be'er is devoted to that. And when he talks about a lot of these things, what he says is the following klolim. So let's take an example like Amas Hamayim by and the Koista Beis Medrash. What could have happened, and Maral pretty much says it is, all of a sudden the food supply stopped there. People stopped giving food, the whole Beis Medrash fell apart, and Chazal understood it, that this is because of Rebbe Elazar's Kavod. In other words, the understanding that this is Pshat was something that Chazal that Chazal actually dehared it with an emes. There's another place where he says it, which again today I guess we got stoned if you said it. It's a Gemara Bar Metzia. It says Eliyahu Navi used to come to the Masifta of Rebbe. One day he came late, didn't come. He asked him, why didn't you come? So he told him, he said, I had to get Avram ready, I had to get Yitzhak ready, and so on and so forth. So someone else says, in Chedusha Agadis, take a look at it. It's a Bar Metzia. Let me look up where it is over here. Some in the fourth Perek. Just take a look. It's in Pehei. It's in Pehei Pehvav. So he says over there, he used to come, and it says, and he says like this. He says that don't think that this means they literally came. He said it means that they would hear, they would understand things and know that this is what Eliyahu HaNavi meant. It's so to speak, they were able to deher truths that they recognized were Shayach Eliyahu. It's something which it wasn't as a physical being, maybe, you know, with a big fire and so on, he appeared to them. But it means that they would all together, so to speak, understand something, and then they would realize that this was coming from someplace else, that this was coming from what's the right word for it? It would come a gili of Eliyahu because they understood things that they wouldn't understand without it. This is something it's an extraordinary Havana. It's very different than people would normally say it, but rather he understood all of these in Yanam like that. The reason for it was it that he could why is the Maharal learning like that? My sense is that the Maharal held that this type of nisim ended in Chumash. In other words, there are no nisim of that darga which can happen after the Chesimus HaTalmud. That's not it's no longer available after Chesimus, of the Mikra, and b'meila, that's not something that we're allowed to learn like that. And Bal Korcha, what Chazal meant was mitzad pnimius ha'inyan. It's something that when we speak about a gilui Eliyahu, we speak about a person having a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him something, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into his mind a Havana that is shaykh to them. I'll read the Loshni, I have it in front of me. It says, Eliyahu v'shchiach b'msitr Rebbe, v'shchiach gamzeh lo idia maylas v'bchiyam adigosoy, u'mashamad Eliyahu v'shchiach b'msitr de Rebbe. When it says Eliyahu used to be in the Beis Medrash Rebbe, Pirushoy, kibo mimenu dvorim ne'lomim. They would understand things that were not understandable. V'loy hoya nigla b'muchash klal. It's not as if they actually saw him physically there. Rak yodu shebi yeshiva shalem u'megala dvorim. They knew that in other words, they recognized that there's a siyat hashmat to understand things there that's not humanly possible. U'lefikach masham anogalei v'chol sheniska poi. This whole parsha here, where you have, he missed them and he wasn't there, and they asked him, where were you? Hakolim blishim damnu b'muchash. It wasn't an active physical conversation with Eliyahu. You couldn't tape it. Rak shemedilem Eliyahu kol dava v'dava. Zema shem tzachol mok shel Eliyahu medabim. That's what it means when it says Eliyahu spoke with them. ולפיכך מה שאומר כאן דלקח לא יבוא הדוק מלעברו ממה שיודע יש את דעס כאובה סי אפשר לגין על הדום שבו זכה עולם and so on. In other words, we need to understand this as being a reality that's it's very real, but not on the level of the physical reality that we're used to. If I can give a marshal for it, and it's very important to understand.
Yes. Rabbi Lapiansky's question. All the like when the Gemara lists the. You know, like the Sulam Rapinchas Menyoah that they go Tchias Amesim in.
Right.
That's all to be taken in that same way, I'm assuming.
Well, Tchias Amesim, since Tchias Amesim leads, Tchias Amesim is an end to the Bria, and that we have to believe in the Emes, the final stage of Tchias Amesim. So that means this is the type of activity, at least the Tchias Amesim. But it, you know, it's, I am not aware, again, you can actually, if any of you have one of the programs that has the Maral with a search program, look in the word lo b'muchash or lo muchash, and it'll come up an awful lot where he understands things. I think I must tell you over the one that I found the most, I guess, amusing and truest was. The Gemara that says, I think it was Gemara in Chulin, somebody lost a child, and somebody's wife passed away, and he had young children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them grow breasts to nurse them. So some said how great this person is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishtana Maisa Bereishis, and some said that how bad this person is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishtana Sidrei Olam. So he clears, did it happen factually or not happen factually? He goes back and forth, if it's possible, not possible. Then he says, at the end he says, he's actually up in the air, and then he says he thinks that it did not happen factually, but what happened was he was able to always find food for the kids that they needed and so on. So he asks, so what's the Gemara's big deal about being Mishan Maisa Bereishis and Kamagadla person, Zamarua? So he says, for a father to be able to constantly feed his children appropriately is a nace counter to my sabracious. I certainly appreciate that observation, but al kopanim, that's his mahalach in many places. I believe that the reason is because there's no monism after that. But what's important to understand is that, and this is very important to where the moral differs. The people who have moved away from religion in the big picture are the people that have allegorized everything, the Bible, everything. Everything is what they call fabulation. You know, and they fakert, it's very important to make up important myths because that teaches me so on and so forth. That is, so in Torah we certainly can't, in Torah we have to take a kipshuto in Torah. In Navi, we take the inyanim of Shemayim, not Kipshuto, Yerov Eres, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yeshiv, Mino, Smolos, not Yumin, not Smol, so on and so forth. Then we have in Chazal, Chazal spoke in metaphor. Ramchal says so, it doesn't describe which one's not, but he spoke in metaphor. The what's important to understand, and this is what the Maral says, it wasn't just idle metaphor, no good comes out of bad, and therefore whatever bad happened of it. There was a mahalach, when Chazal used metaphors, they were meant to be extremely specific. And when they said that his earth turned into Avraham Avinu's earth, this is what should have been. This is what should be. And what happened was a mahalach, not physically identical, but mitzad the structure should be identical. And that's why every word and every point of this needs to be studied. His point is these things, Chazal showed us a construct of something that's supposed to be that way. And if I can give you, let's use a dogma, a marshal that we can understand today. A person decides on a mathematical formula that would serve well as what he thinks a description of a certain phenomena. You ask a computer to run that formula and to project using some diagram, picture, representation of the things that will happen. So when you see a storm coming up on the computer, it's not a real storm because it hasn't taken place outside with clouds and wind, but mitzad, the movement of the air, the humidity, etc., this is what should be. So it's real and very, very specific in one sense, but not in a physical sense. So what I'm looking at is not, I'm looking at a projection. The hashgachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mahalchim to it and a structure to it, and that's why it's not just idle, sort of up in the air type of this happened, that happened. This is what should have happened. Choni HaMagal is a person who, whatever he accomplished, sort of tov in it. The offer could be tov in a certain sense. The nace was that it had the effect that was needed. The one in a million chance that they would see it the way it should be. Eliyahu HaNavi was the words put into the mouth of some stupid servant of the king. Probably didn't know the right and left, but he for once in his life he said something worth listening to. And in all him because he's bitachin. So it's unfortunate that we have been trained to see only Nisim when they're in a very, very overt sort of glorified form. It's not like that. We need to understand Nisim subtly. The fact that something like that could happen is incredible nace. Let's take a look at something. I always think about it. Let's take a look at something that's happened in our lifetime. In 1945, if somebody would have asked any Bar Das, what is the future of the Jewish people? Seichel said, it's the Jewish people are history. A third of them are killed. A third of them are locked in Russia. A third of them are rapidly assimilating in America. There's nothing left of anything. There was nothing left of anything. And 50 years later, 30 years later, and they were on the way to revival, and 50 years later, they were in many ways stronger than they ever were. Is that incredible? What are the chances of it if all history had was a natural rhythm to it? What's the chances that the tides of assimilation could be reversed to produce a vibrant Shomer Torah, that they would establish a country in Israel that would survive and be successful, that there would be something kept in Russia so that 60 years later there'd be still remnants of Jews? I don't know. But we're not used to it. What I wonder is, in light of what he's saying now, the morale, If you use the Chassidus Maises, Eliyahu HaNavi, I mean, it's like a regular visitor. I mean, all sorts of Maises where people saw something like a great light, or this, or that, the other thing. What he's saying here is that the Moroyim, when it says Eliyahu was frequent by Reb Chiya is Rebbe's Talmud. You can't get Cheshver in that. And Chazal tells Eliyahu was Rogodes. He says it doesn't mean there was a person. It means that they realize This is something that we used to. This is something that we're there with. I want to tell you a mice that I heard firsthand and the way I thought of it. Someone I heard this from the person himself. There was a Yid Rabbi Shane in Ashdod who's the Rav of Ashdod. His son is married to my niece, and that's why we're close, we're friends, we know each other, wonderful person, is my nephew's chaviv. Their mother passed away in the summer, when I was there in the summer, actually was at Elvaya. I went to Menachem Oval. They told me some stories. Their mother had had a heart problem since she was a young child. She had rheumatic fever, and she was pregnant with her first child. That's my nephew. She had only two children, and she basically was gonna die. Her heart was failing. She couldn't hold up the pregnancy, and the doctors said, the only chance for success is an operation to repair the damage. The is certainly lost, and the mother's 50-50. I mean, this was devastating news, and Rabbi Shainin went to Reb Chatzkel Abramsky and asked him what he should do. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky thought long and hard, and he said, do the operation, it'll be successful, but it's too big for me to take on my own shoulders. I want somebody else to also take, let it be 50% on the stipler's shoulders. Go to the stipler and speak to the stipler. He went to the stipler. The stipler thought, and he was very, very distraught, and he said, I can't take it on my shoulders. He went back to Chatzkel Abramsky told him, go back and tell the Horner stipler, that was his full name, from Horner stipler, that it's no chachma to sit in locked up in a room learning. You need to take some responsibilities for Klal Yisrael as well, and a Jewish daughter in such a matzav, you need to take some achrayis. He said, I can't go back and tell that to him. I'm not going to tell this disciple. So he thought a few minutes, said, you know what, go to the Ger Rebbe and let him take 50% of the responsibility. He went to the Beis Yisrael, told him what happened. Saul thought a minute, he said, okay, if Reb Chatzkel takes 50, I take 50. And she lived in that. What was that? Mele the Rebbe, you know, asked questions. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky was the most Litvak you ever saw. He was a real Litvak. He was a rationalist. There was nothing there. What did he have a malach come tell? Like, was he working with angels? What was going on there? I obviously can't tell you. I have no idea. I'm not. But my feeling is, there, people of stature, he had a certain hargasha, and he had a sense that I feel I need to take it on my shoulders, my schusim, and carry it through. I don't understand it further than that. But there's a certain, in other words, the message, the sense he gets is that type of sense. And for a person who's in a Madrega, that's what the Maral says it means. It's not that an apparition that showed up in Beis Medrash every day and said, okay, Rabbi, this is Pshat, that's Pshat. The sense was the Siyata Rishmayim being Oymed on the right Mahalach is Eliyahu HaNavi. And coming from them, it was not frivolous. It meant that was Eliyahu. And when Eliyahu didn't come, it means it disappeared. And they weren't privy to it. And they were looking around, they asked themselves, where's it coming from? It's, again, I'll tell you, people today are going the opposite direction. There's nobody bigger than the Maral in terms of learning Agaritas. He was the master of it, and then the Maral is a giant in everything. He wasn't, and this is the way. This is the Mahalach he gave. It's something. If you ever take a look in the Beis Yaakov, in the Ishbitz's farm, in the Ishbitz or Zina's farm, they have this very poetic language. When they say that when this happened, the trees, there was a tzaaka that came from the trees, the big tzaaka of their existence being threatened. It's a very powerful expression, and it's reality if you feel it, that every chelik in the bria has a tafkid, and every chelik in the bria demands that it be used. It's something where it's not just an idle, well, you know, I need to make a very dramatic statement, I use it. These statements are very exact, but they're not physical realities. They are ruchnistic realities. It doesn't make it less real.
Okay, I mean, it's sort of off the topic of bitachon, but it's very significant. I'm just astounded. I wonder how many people, if people would know that that's what he says, and look it up. Quite a few places he says he uses that and he says that, and you know, I just wonder where people go with it. Any questions?
Okay. That's a
mapecha.
That's great.
The truth is not a mapecha. It's what we found, and
yeah,
you know,
it's very, it makes a lot of sense. It just very mystical, I think. Whatever.
Yeah,
to me, it just sits very well. You know,
right? It's when somebody says when Adam Rishon walked on the grass, that he had fallen so low, Every piece of grass yelled, you know, what's your right to rule over me? If you understand the Bria in its panemius, that's the reality of it, it's very powerful. And you don't have to say that if you were there with a tape recorder, you would hear every single grass, this and that. It's so childish when there's an emes there that's so powerful. That you know, and a person who's sensitive walks around the world and sees it that way. I once read a Maisa, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Mariatz, was walking with his father Rashab, and they were talking, and his father was telling him a very deep, you know, what they call Chassidus insights into Tzomeach and Shroshim and Alim and this and that. And he was very taken by it, and he was very lost in thought. And as they were walking, he was ripping out leaves from the branches that they were passing by. And his father was upset and said, you know, we're thinking into so much, we're delving into the depth of Tzomeach, how can you just callously tear out grasses? In other words, it's sort of belying your, you know, what you profess to believe, kind of what we're Isaac in. But if a person has the oimik of Dargasha in it, then he said actually the Mariatz once said a very, very powerful description. It fits the morale as well. He spoke about what they call Hasidus is a very unique genre. It's not like other Hasidus forms. Chabad's got its own. He said that Hasidus has to be studied with the mental discipline of Gemara and the sensitive heart of the artist. In other words, it's a structured understanding that deals with metaphors, and you need to feel the metaphors in their richness, but you understand that it's not just idle expressions, but a very, very, but very sharply crafted descriptions of things. Okay, we'll hold it here. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Yishakar.
Thank you.
Shabbos, good Shabbos, thank you.